From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.
Welcome to Postcard from Portbred on a freezing cold day. My name's Eric Wiltshire at the base of the glorious Tatry Mountains, completely covered in snow, as I was until a few seconds ago where it started to melt off my ski suit. That story will become apparent later. This is Postcard from Portbred, and it is your weekly sideways look at the news. With regular, all three of the Three Musketeers are here. I say that carefully, because last time I said it, I got lambasted by one of them for saying two. I said three then, and I'll say three again now. It's Lee Banks, who's on the zit of the nose of Europe.
In Great Britain, that green and septic land where all turns to detritus before your very eyes.
Detritus, actually.
Yeah. And Lee is an old trooper this week.
Pompous Parisian. I'm not very well. I've not said anything about that.
I was just about to. I was just about to say, for all the girls' benefit, Lee is suffering from man flu. I'm yes. Sorry, girls, he's going to whinge all the way through the programme because he's got man flu, which means he hasn't got anything wrong with him whatsoever.
May I say?
Go on.
This is Lee G. Banks, writer, a man barely alive. And gentlemen, you can rebuild me. Eric, you say you have the technology. You have the capability to make the world's first bionic man. And I will be that man, better than I was before.
Yeah, but Lee, it costs 50p and I can't invest that on you.
Right, I'll just carry on being ill then.
And in Gay Paris, where the doggy doo-doo is still frozen, I suspect, it's co-founder of the Consumer Action Group, Mark Gander.
Well, hello there, everybody. And no, the doggy doo-doo, which litters all over Paris pavements in industrial quantities, is not frozen because it's got warmer, raining, and so it's all good squelchy. And
oh,
you can
lovely.
See it in everybody's footprints. I am not kidding you. This is not a wind-up. This is, it really is what Paris is like. Hello, everybody.
Coming up shortly on the programme, we'll be asking you, dear listener, for your help with an Anglo-Slovak charity. Freddie Venables will be joining us in a second. Before that, we've got to say some hellos to some lovely people this week. And we'll... first off is Darren Longhurst. He's from UKPN Radio. And I had a listen to your programme, Lee, with yes. Darren. And Lee can exacerbate some anger in me from times to times. And he does. Anyway, Darren says, thanks for the ad. I love your podcast. It's better than the radio here. Well, thank you very much, Darren. It's funny, really, and topical. We try. We've got Lee on our show tomorrow. I did send my condolences. So we're hoping for a good laugh. Best wishes, mate. And best wishes to you, Darren, as well.
Yeah, good on you, Darren.
Good luck.
Yeah.
It's a good station. A good station, UKPN.
Yes, we noticed that you took it over.
I only took it over for just under 2 hours.
Exactly. I think the idea was they were supposed to be interviewing you, not you hosting the programme.
Well, I just thought I'll interview myself and I'll answer myself. They won't have anything to do. Have a little bit of a rest and that's fine. And that's what I did for 2 hours.
Exactly. I've heard it. Again, commiserations, Darren. but you know, no, it was all right. Also, a lovely message from David Clouter. He's the host of The Rock Show on Cam FM, which is up in Cambridge in the UK. And he said, the most amazing thing just happened, Eric. My taxi driver told me he was from a town called Svit in Slovakia.
Svit of Slovakia?
Svit.
On the nose, obviously.
No, actually, it's a nice little town, actually.
It is a nice place, yeah.
It is nice, which turns out to be just a few miles from you. Dead right, David. And what's more, he and his family listen to Radio Tatras regularly. Well, I wish... I just wish, David, you'll have to tell me who the... find the name of the taxi driver, and we'll give him a real proper name check for that. Yes. And thank you very much. If you are in Cambridge, by the way, find Cam FM, because on a Sunday afternoon... David does the most enormous, amazing rock show. Trust me on that. He's been doing them for donkey's years, and he knows what he's talking about.
Is it on internet radio?
Yes, it is.
Oh, brilliant.
It is as well. I think it's fair to say that if David hasn't interviewed them, they're not in the rock industry. And he really has interviewed that many people. Sad news this week with the Real Gone Kids. Whitney is sadly passed away. And I'm getting cold. put my hands in
not as
pocket.
Cold as Whitney.
No, absolutely not. Who sadly died in her bath, not by any other reason than drowning. We're reliably informed. But they have allowed one single camera to go into her funeral, which will be broadcast around the world on the net. So if that's your way of paying tribute, the funeral will be on the net to watch there as well. And I have to say, whilst I'm not a ballad lover whatsoever, I don't like ballads at all, Whitney was just one of those amazing voices.
I agree, yeah, she was actually, and she's an icon of things past and will be remembered very fondly. But it does strike me when you think that Whitney Houston, and I'm not disrespecting her at all in saying this, was a creature of publicity. And I just found it a bit strange when a family said that they were having a private funeral. But they were allowing in the internet for it to go out. How private's that then?
Well, no, I can understand that, Lee, because what it means is there won't be that, a magnitude of paparazzi trying to force their way into the door, but it does allow the fan base to actually feel part of it. So I think in that way, if it was done that way around, and I don't know if it was, but if it was, then I would commend it. Absolutely.
I don't think it'll stop the paps being there.
No, I'm sure it
would. It be very cynical of me to say what a wonderful marketing opportunity for her record label as well?
Don't start me on that.
Have you read about Sony?
Yeah,
the albums, minutes, hours after her death.
Right. And they said, whoops, what an accident. It wasn't intended.
Right, we believe that. Moving on, Dori Previn. Yeah.
Oh, that's so sad, isn't it? That really is sad. I don't you both remember Dori Previn, but she was Andre Previn's wife in worked on the 67 film Valley of the Dolls with him. And she suffered all her life with mental problems, and she was just a really broken, poetic, gorgeously sad figure. Mm-hmm. And she turned out some beautiful albums. I don't know if you remember the most famous, which is... I've forgotten what it's called now. The on My Way to There.
Yes.
It was her album which expressed her journey through life with her own mental problems. Mythical and Iguanas was another album that she did.
I'm afraid, gentlemen, lost on me. We move on to a sad loss from James Whittaker, who was a fabulous journalist. Absolutely marvellous man.
I have to say here, I met James... back in, I think it was 2001, when I actually won, ladies and gentlemen. I suppose I'm not trying to rain on his parade here, but I won National Headline Writer of the Year.
I know you did, mate. Well, that's a good thing to win.
Yeah, it was James who presented it to me, and he was a lovely bloke. We had a few sort of schmifters afterwards. And,
yes, as one does.
Yeah, and he was a bloody good journalist as well. Yeah. You know, he's the one
he knew about his subject. That was a more important thing.
Of course he did.
He really understood it. Sad news in the world of journalism this week with Anthony Shadid. And this just goes to show how people who are really dedicated journalists go out there to report on things to share with you. And sadly, Anthony, who was a writer for the New York Times, died in Syria. Whose phone is that? Is that mine?
Mine.
Oh, blast, it's mine. Sorry. Although he was out in Syria, and you would expect the obvious reason for his death, it wasn't that. The poor guy suffered with asthma with an allergic reaction that was triggered out there, and sadly he was lost. Yep. And also, it goes to show, you don't have to give up if you've got asthma. If you're out there listening, I suffer from asthma. I was told to sit in a chair, be a cabbage, and don't do anything at the age of 23. I'm now 57, and I'm still annoying the world. So it can be
still
done.
Still a cabbage.
Just did the cabbage part. Really.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Anyway, sad loss to us, Anthony. Our thoughts and prayers are with all the families of those that have lost loved ones. We move along now to the very eastern part of Slovakia, because, boys and girls, we really need your help. Because there's an Anglo-Slovak charity about to launch, and Freddie Venables, who's been on the programme before, is here to explain. Hello, Freddie.
Hello, Harry.
My God, he's
Hello,
there.
Freddy.
Hello, Freddie.
Hello. Mind me, this is like two-way family favourites, isn't it?
Something it's a bit crowded like, here today.
Yeah, it's a bit crowded. But that's a...
This is bringing back memories.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, bless. Oh. At your age, Freddie, that's all you've got left.
Can I just say something, ladies and gentlemen?
If you're going to tell that story,
I'm not going to tell the story about Freddie being the only man who's ever kissed me on the lips before. I'm going to tell that Freddie actually was hailed from just round the corner from where I live, and we are quite just connected, apart from in the stakes.
Right, let's shut up for a minute. We're going to be serious. Freddie, tell us about this charity.
Okay. It all started with, it's about Alzheimer's and dementia. And as you know, I got married a few years ago to a lovely slow-back lady.
You did.
And you did the video for my wedding, didn't you?
Yes, we did. Yes.
Oh. Valika's mum has Alzheimer's.
Right.
And she's quite well on with it. She's in really in the last stages.
Right.
And over the last 2 years, really, as I've got to know Valika's mum, it's become very apparent to me that actually nobody in the family really knows much about Alzheimer's or dementia generally.
Mm-hmm.
And it just shocks me the lack of information that there is available. And everybody here can say that they're a bit wiser because we've been on the internet, we've found lots and lots of information.
Right.
And it occurs to me that there's 1% of the population have Alzheimer's. That means here in Michalovce, where I am currently, population of 40,000, there must be 400 people with Alzheimer's or dementia.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened with Valika's mum is... she was having hallucinations, she was forgetting stuff, and they were just doing all sorts of...
weird things.
Weird, silly things. Yeah. Eventually, they sent her to Košice for a brain scan. She had already lost 15% of her brain function.
Ouch. And do you think that's more to do, not to do with people not caring, but we are... Slovakia is a very small country of like 5.5 million people. Yeah. So it tends to be, even though you've got 400 people, it tends to be lower on the radar than it would be in the UK because the numbers are all different.
It's very, very simply ignorance.
All right.
There's just not information out there. I mean, get this, Valika's mum was a sister in a hospital.
Yeah. Oh, right.
And nobody thought to go, oh, I wonder if this is dementia that's coming on here.
Okay.
And it wasn't,
so, so what are you going to... Come on, you've given us a problem. What's the, what's your cure?
Well, the solution is education, Eric.
Yep.
And, me being English and, relatively internet savvy, anybody asks me a question, or the doctor gives you a tablet, the first thing you do, you pick up your iPhone, you go on the web and you go, well, what is this medication, what they are giving to me?
Yep.
You can find out, about what it is you've got. And Alzheimer's is the same. And there is shed loads of information on the web. Companies, film companies like HBO have done a whole series of films, but they're all in English. They're all on the web. And they're not accessible to people in Michalovce or at least in Slovakia.
Well, there's two. You've got two problems. First one is the language.
Yes.
And the second one is the lack of internet where you live.
Exactly.
Right.
And in the UK now, because, this is still in the UK when people are old and showing memory loss, the UK doctors are still going, so-and-so's getting old. Actually, no, this is the beginning of Alzheimer's or some other form of dementia.
Yeah.
So what we want to do is, the first step is to, we're going to open an what's called a memory cafe. So this is basically a Alzheimer's carers or dementia carers support group,
right?
Where people can meet on a regular basis, and we will provide the information, access to the information,
mm-hmm.
and so the people who are caring for sufferers of dementia can have somebody to talk to. One of the challenges here, it's the same in the UK, or it was the same in the UK, is that, for example, Mother has been shut in the flat. She doesn't go out. Everybody's a little bit embarrassed that mother's poorly.
Yeah.
And so there's this kind of stigmatism that goes along with
So what can we do to help you?
Well, one of the biggest things I've got a challenge with is we've got some films which are available on the web that are in English, mm-hmm. and I'm looking for some people who speak really good Slovaks who speak really good English, who understand English really well, who could help me put dubbing onto those English films.
So basically, that is a good idea. So hang on, in summary of this phase of it. Anybody that's out there listening who can speak English, you don't have to be fluent in it. The idea is that the videos can be translated, a script generated, and in the same way as American series are done here, they will be dubbed into Slovak to help Slovak citizens. And will you be putting these on the web, Freddie?
Well, hopefully, Eric, you'll be helping me do that.
Because... I love you. I'm sure we can find a way.
You only had to volunteer once to do the webpage.
Oh, my word. Okay. And what about the written word then?
Well, the same again. People who are Slovak, who speak really good English, who can translate, you know, the odd A4 kind of document for us. Yeah.
And, of course, they don't have to be in... The beauty of this is that they don't have to be in Slovakia. It could be our friends from Talk Radio X in America...
Absolutely.
It could be the guys at Replay, anywhere.
I'm not bothered where it comes from. It's just, if we can do that, then I'm fairly sure we can start getting funding from people so that we can start printing off things.
Yes. Yeah. But you need to demonstrate that you're actually prepared to do some work so that you can then get funding from other sources to improve your work.
Yes. But it's interesting, there's an Alzheimer's society in Bratislava, mm-hmm. and nobody here in Michalovce knew that it existed.
Oh, my word.
And, I'm trying to get them involved, but they're being a little bit hard to get. But we'll get them.
Okay, well, look, let me just try and summarise this and help people out a bit. So if you are an English speaker who is happy to help by doing some dubbing into Slovak, all the help and support you need will be given by Freddie. Either get in touch with us via your own station or via studio@rti.fm. We'll put you in touch with Freddie, whichever way you want to contact us. And it doesn't matter where people are, because this can all be done via the interweb, can't it, Freddie?
So you tell me.
Yes, as it goes, it can. as it goes, it can. Is that English or not? I don't know. Anyway, so we need people. We need people who are just prepared to give us an hour or something like that.
Yeah.
It's a one-time thing. You don't have to be committed for years and years and years because you could just take an hour project and do that.
And I think it's also worth pointing out, Eric, that if anybody has identified a problem in their area and don't know what to do about it, well, you know,
get in touch.
I'd be happy to add them into the group. Let's
make it bigger.
Are you talking about doing a dubbing or subtitles?
Dubbing.
Well, even both. That was a good idea. Well done, that man.
Yes, could do subtitles.
I mean,
it's just
if somebody fancies fun, get their voice known. I mean, dubbing would be a load of fun, actually, as well.
Yeah, you never know. Yeah. You could get some proper job out of that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, good thought, Mark. Well done, that man.
I'm going to start learning it quick.
Yeah. Moja kamarada Freddy razumie moja slovensko katastrofe. Yeah. No?
Yeah. Wash your mouth out, you naughty man.
No. Yeah, Lee's sitting there scratching his foot at the moment, wondering what we're saying. Yeah,
it ain't my foot.
Get out of here.
So, okay, just a quick recap before we move on. We need people. You only need to give an hour. It can all be done via the internet, email, interweb, subtitling, dubbing. Great opportunity to get your voice out there, as Mark says. Print, anything like that. And translate it. And if you have a problem and are not sure where to go, Freddie's more than prepared to help you in that area as well. So you never know your luck. We could be global soon, Freddie.
Can I just ask you, we're
starting off in Michalovce. I did want to start one in Humane at the same time, but that the people there are anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Mark, over to you.
It's very slow back.
Right, hang on. Mark, over to you.
I was just going to ask you, do you have The Simpsons dubbed in Slovak over there?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, is it Czech?
No, I think you're right, Freddie. It's Czech.
It'll be Czech. Yeah.
Yeah, it was Czech. Yeah.
But I get this, Eric. There are in the Gloucestershire Health Authority in the UK have produced brochures and information and stuff about Alzheimer's for carers, and it's already they've had it translated into Czech.
Wow!
Isn't that stunning?
You're off and running already.
That's really good.
That is good, isn't it?
Amazing.
Is Czech many miles away from Slovak?
No, it's very Czech to Slovak is rather like, I suppose, a northern dialect compared to London, for example.
Yeah,
Mark.
Any Slovak can translate from.
They just understand it. It's all right. Yeah. A better simile may well be American English to English English, for example.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's very, very similar, Mark. But anyway, Freddie, we wish you a million thanks. What I would love to do as well is give you an opportunity to come back on in the future. Let us know how you're getting on, whatever else you need, and we'll put the request out for you.
Thank you, darling.
All right, Freddie, lovely talking to you. See you soon, mate. Bye-bye, man.
Bye.
Cheers, Freddie.
Freddie Venables trying to set up a lovely Anglo-Slovak project there, and we wish him all the best. And do, if you have any ideas or suggestions, get in touch via your own station or via rti.fm. Let's move on to something good that's happened, and this is where I go and blow a raspberry at the so-called experts of banking, because the retail sales rose 0.9% in January compared to December, according to the latest figures from the Office of National Statistics. Just days, by the way, after Moody's, the credit agency, has warned everybody they might be cutting the credit ratings because everything's doom and gloom. But the retail sales figures were much stronger than forecast by many economists and outperformed everything. So
you've just been sucking in again, haven't you? Just like everybody else, you've been sucking in. This is just a PR exercise on behalf of the government to make people think everything's going well.
What happens in January?
We have the January sales.
Absolutely right. I'm going to agree with Lee here.
Oh,
but come on, Eric, and it's to say
less than 1%. Less than 1%.
He keeps trying to get in. Or it could be proving that some of these financial institutions and economists actually don't get it right all the time.
Nobody, it doesn't matter. 9.9% and 1% sales went up in the time when the sales are supposed to take over the world from January. Everybody's supposed to go out and spend the money they've saved over Christmas.
Absolutely.
It's a load of rubbish.
I'll tell you what is much more serious here is the fact that the credit rating agencies are talking here about downgrading the British banks.
Yeah.
This will have serious repercussions because if the British banks are downgraded, and this is amazing, even if they're all downgraded equally, they will all charge each other more money for lending to each other, even though they're all credit risk and they're all in the same boat. Mm. And, of course, who will pay the inflated interest rises? Because then instead of taking the hit themselves, they're going to be shunted onto their customers. And instead of maybe putting it on the 0.5% extra that they pay, or probably less than that, they'll probably put it up 3/4% to their customers, and it will be us, the British public, get it again.
Right. Anyway, moving along, as we've got so much to squeeze in now.
Can I just say on this, though, just before quickly, that the places that are doing really well in Britain are places like Primark, Poundland, B&M, all the big council house estate stores where you go in and you spend... You could go into B&M and spend 49p and get yourself a good curry. Those are the sort of places that are saying...
If you looked on the news this morning... you will find the other growth area where people are leaving shops. They are transferring their business to the internet. And as one woman would put it, she's not trading as much as she used to, but the profit's up dramatically, and she's exactly where she was without the worry of renting a shop.
I think that's a good point, yeah, because it's impossible to rent shops now. Everything is expensive in Britain. Crazy, crazy place.
Yeah. Right. Despite the fact the scandal of empty shops, and I think it was announced on the newspaper on the BBC today that something like 14 shops per day
closing.
In Britain are closing down. The high streets are emptying out. Of course the business is going to the internet, except of course for the big supermarket.
So okay, but why is that a scandal? I don't understand why that is a scandal? That these shops are being left empty?
Because they're being charged ridiculous high rates from the councils.
Oh, right, of course, yeah. I rescind what I was saying.
Okay, we must squeeze this in quickly before the end of part one. Did Mark win? Well, we think so, because the Ministry of Justice has proposed changes to the bailiff industry, Mark. Are you happy?
We have, and doesn't it look good? Looks absolutely fantastic. Do you know who's been proposed as probably going to be the new regular of the bailiff, the regulator of the bailiff industry?
Mark Gander.
The British Parking Association.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Unbelievable.
But I'll tell you what, though, Mark. Hold on a minute. What is really funny to me, because I've got one of those kind of memories, luckily, the words that are being used by the Justice Minister ring very closely to the exact words that you were using.
Hang on. Sorry, Alzheimer's cuts in there.
Yeah, thank you very much. No, I mean, what you were calling for a little while ago, well, just at the back end of last year, is the kind of things that the Justice Minister is actually saying he wants to implement.
Yeah, you want a code, you want it backed by statutes, you want everything to be tightened up and made rock. Do you remember, Mark?
We want.
No, he doesn't.
My memory. Look, I mean, those are the kind of things that you want, particularly with an industry like bailiffs, which seems to have such incredible powers and comes into such close contact with vulnerable groups. I mean, we're not dealing with banks here, who have to watch their steps at some rate with, you know, people who are wealthy and educated and middle class and so forth. We're talking here about the bailiff industry that I'm afraid is coming to, you know, the really sort of most vulnerable and disprivileged groups in society who really can't stick up for themselves. And for some reason, they don't seem to have much credibility in the courts and what have you. We need real regulation here. The British Parking Association, it seems, is the number one in line for taking on this role. This is extraordinary. This is an organisation. All the bailiffs, incidentally, already belong to the British Parking Association. This is not some new independent organisation.
Oh, dear.
They've already...
So they're going to be regulating themselves.
That's exactly what they're... And they've already shown... I mean, they've got a code of conduct which is by and large ignored. You know, I mean, these are just a bunch of lively lad barrow boys who've gotten together to make some so-called professional organisation called the BPA. Yeah. Sounds very similar to the... What's that other British institution?
No,
the,
stop it. Don't go there.
That right-wing...
Don't go there. So, in summary, then, are we not happy?
No.
Well, I was happy when we saw this on the list. No, yeah. I'm not very happy at all. If we're going to be regulated by parking wardens.
Oh, marvellous. Exactly. Right, that's the end of part one, boys and girls. A postcard from Pat Brad. We'll be back faster than you can make that milkshake, drink a cup of tea, or get thawed out if you're frozen like Eric. See you in a couple of seconds. Do not go away.
The Station of the Stars. RTI.